Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 109 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Leipzig at the San Siro, which finished 1-0 to the host, an own goal from Castello Luqueba in the 27th minute, a result that gives us another 3 points in the Champions League, sitting on 13 points, first place in the league table, as well as continuing our clean sheet streak in the Champions League, 0 goals conceded in 5 straight games. A great result. It can't be argued. It's a great result for this team who has been getting great results for several months now, despite there being a lot of criticism coming our way. And that's where I'd love to start. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. So, Johnny, considering where we are in the Champions League table, considering that we haven't given up a goal, how do you feel after today's 1-0 performance where you got some really great individual performances, some things for us to talk about as far as some other individuals, but ultimately, it's the result we all wanted. How are you feeling after today's game?
To be honest, I think, you know, the scoreline doesn't do us justice. I think that we really did outplay them. And I know this is going to be like it's kind of been a common trend most of this season, really. Like the finishing just hasn't been there. And we've had no problem creating opportunities. But it felt like we were just so in control of this match. I had no concerns at all, really. You want to put them away. In my opinion, we should have had at least that second goal at the end there. I don't think that was a foul, but whatever. You know, it didn't really affect the outcome, although, you know, you don't want it to come down to a refereeing decision to keep you from being able to get maximum points there. But yeah, I will take the 3 points and going clear in the table. And for the most part, I was, you know, extremely satisfied with the performance. Minus some of the finishing and a few individuals who I'm sure we'll talk about here. So,
yeah, it's interesting because obviously, you know, we didn't get that second goal after having a lot of opportunities to do so. And then, you know, I think Costa Curta after the game had mentioned like he didn't see an Inter that suffered. But for Inter fans, that last, you know, 11 minutes or so, we definitely suffered. Just like you said, it's same thing against Arsenal, where despite the fact that, you know, you're only up 1-0 and you're coming under some pressure, it's a nervy way to end the game, especially when we should have had, you know, several goals in the bag. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting performance to analyze. If you look at our last 3 Champions League games, it took a 93rd minute winner against Young Boys, obviously an Arsenal game where we scored on a penalty and then, you know, kind of shut up shop for there for a second, and then this Leipzig game where you know, we get a goal midway through the first half and then, you know, nothing much after that. So 3 straight 1-0 victories when we probably could have done a lot more. If you also look at the big four out of these league fixtures for Inter, Man City, Arsenal, Leipzig, and Leverkusen, out of a possible 12 points, we've already picked up 7, on track to be able to get, you know, 10 out of 12, which I think is a huge success coming into this last game against Leverkusen, having already played both English teams and picked up positive results there. So, you know, Inter's in a really good position. I think it's okay for Interisti to have some critical thoughts about, you know, some of the performances here. And I guess before we get into some of the critical stuff, let's talk about what went well for us. The midfield trio of Hakan, Zielinski, and Barella that we've been talking about wanting to see more of was absolutely on fire today. I do believe had Marcus been up top and just having that speed to get in behind, this trio could have served up, you know, potentially three or four goals in that first half. And particularly got to highlight Zielinski, who had his best game in an Inter shirt by far. Tell me what you saw from the Polish international today. And is this finally where we see the shift to him being considered in this top 11 over Henrik Mkhitaryan?
I mean, it better be, right? Like, you see a performance like this, an absolute complete performance from your midfield three. How can you justify going back to Mkhitaryan? I just, it doesn't make sense. It wouldn't make sense. I would be, if I'm Zielinski, I would be actually be offended and disappointed. Maybe for the next game, you go back to Henrik because Zielinski played the full 90.
Yeah.
But I think going forward, this has to be your three. I tweeted about it saying, you know, that this was literally perfection. And this is what you would want to see and what we had hoped to see from these guys from match day one. Zielinski was, I thought he was picking the ball all over the pitch. He was so shifty. He was able to, you know, beat his man, escape from his man. He had no problem dribbling, wanted to go at people, which I love that. You know, like I want to see more of that, not just from him, but, you know, from Thuram and you know, whenever you know, Buchanan is allowed to make a presence. And I know last I saw he got like a 7.8. To me, that was like an 8.5 type of performance from Zielinski, and thrilled at it. So I hope he continues to go forward like that.
I mean, you can look at, let's just compare the two right now in the three phases of the game. Defensively, I don't see, this season especially, I don't see that much of a difference between the two players. I don't think Mickey is that much better of a defender, that much better of a presser. I don't know how many tackles Zielinski won today, but it's not like he had a team that was forcing him to track back a lot. So, you know, it remains to be seen, but I don't think there's a huge drop off defensively to go from Mickey to Zielinski. In the transition phase with Inter in possession, there's one thing that I notice about Zielinski's game that's definitely not present with Mkhitaryan, and it's the calmness under pressure. When he's being stepped to and he has the ball and he has, you know, two or three guys around him, the decisions that he makes are not hurried. They're not rushed. Like, he's very confident and assured on the ball. When he's in possession of it, you don't feel like he's about to misplace a pass or anything like that. Like, he just plays through pressure freely, whether it is playing to the man short or whether it is looking a little further, or this has been the most impressive part of his game, whether it is the drop of the shoulder and to just play, like, beat the press by carrying the ball, which is not something that we've been able to see a lot from Mkhitaryan. And then especially in the final third, it's really obvious that he's super comfortable being a distributor there and, you know, lining up a shot. Obviously, I think the one shot that he took today sailed over the bar, but, you know, you can say that from a few other players. But if it was the Champions League final, let's say a week from today, I would feel that the best midfield that we can go with would be Zielinski, Chala, and Barella. Do you think that Inzaghi would think that way as well at this point? He did shout him out in the, you know, the post-match. He did say, like, I don't like to mention individuals, but it was a terrific performance from Zielinski. Where do you think Inzaghi's head would be at with, you know, let's say the most important game of the season, full week of rest for all the midfielders? What three do you think he ultimately chooses?
Unfortunately, right now, I think he would still go with Mkhitaryan, Çalhanoğlu, and Barella, if we're being honest. It doesn't matter how we feel and what we see. I think that his, for whatever reason, his loyalty lies with Henrik, and I would love to, you know, be able to sit down with him and share an espresso and try to figure out why this is this way, because I don't know. I just don't see what value he really brings, except for, you know, willing to motor on as much as he can. But in terms of his passing, his awareness, his read of the game really lately, it just hasn't really been up to snuff for me. I feel like he's turned the ball over way too much for my liking, especially when you're thinking about another Metsala player. You know, it's a lot of times where he is killing options in the attacking third and really allowing the opponent to hit us on the counter. So it's I don't understand what it is that he says or has done to earn this level of trust and loyalty from Simone. But I'm hoping that a performance like this today, even though it was a reluctant shout out, gets him the opportunities that Zielinski definitely deserves.
One last thing on the Zielinski front. I said earlier, I tweeted earlier in the season that I thought Mickey would be the Serie A player and Zielinski would be the European left center mid. It has played out like that so far. Do you think that there's any like merit to that, and that he's just, you know, keeping one player for one competition and one for the other? Or do you think it's just a matter of how the rotations have been playing out to this point?
Yeah, I think it's just the way it's been playing out at this point. I don't think it's one way or the other. I would hope that it's not just limited to the Champions League for Zielinski, because we saw how he played against Juve when he got the opportunity to start as well. You know, this guy, just loads of class and loads of potential. And I think that when you have these three players that started today together on the pitch, anything is possible. And I feel like I feel most comfortable with the three of them playing together. And I think that, like you said, had Turan been up top, we probably would have had a much different game, and it probably could have been done and dusted by the 60-minute mark type thing, where we might have been up 2-3-0. You know, who knows? So, yeah, I'm hoping that it's just the way things have played out, and that this isn't just going to be, oh, you get this competition, you get that competition type thing. So,
yeah. All right, so you just mentioned up top. So let's get to probably the first critical part of the pod here. So Lautaro and Taremi get the start today. In the first half, I think Taremi had one shot on goal where it looked really just off. He did have Dumfries coming down the right-hand side, probably should have laid it off there, but he just shot it right into the keeper. Lautaro, a ball was played across the box, weak shot, easily handled by the keeper. But in that first half, they pressed very well. They did a good job as far as, having like Leipzig cough up the ball. I think Taremi on a few occasions specifically was able to get home with his press. And then in the second half, you know, Taremi heads a ball that maybe he should have left for Di Marco, but that was about it. The two strikers that started the game did not connect well with the rest of the team. They were the two strikers who have been probably most under fire for just the lack of production. What's your main takeaway from what you saw from those two today?
To me, it feels like it's more like a mental thing between the two of them. Maybe a physical thing too for Lautaro, but it looks like it's mostly mental, that their confidence is just reeling. Both of them don't seem to be comfortable in the box. They don't feel comfortable with one another. It feels like there's just a lot of miscommunication and a lot of confusion between the two guys up top there. And it's I don't know if it's a training thing or a lack of, you know, them working together during training. Obviously, we're not there, so we're not privy to that. But at some point, you need to just get on the same page with everybody, not just your strike partner. Like, you need to be able to work well with each other and link up with one another. And those two guys, just whether they're on the left, the right, and, you know, interchanging, whatever it is, it just feels like there's no comfortability. Yep, there we go.
Yeah.
Between the two. So I don't know what has to change or how that can be addressed. I don't know if you just kind of keep it like Lautaro and Thuram things. The chemistry's already there, and they have a level of comfort with one another. And then you have Correa and Taremi as first choices off the bench type thing. I truly don't know the answer. I wish I was some kind of savant where I would be able to answer that. But yeah, it's very disappointing, and it's kind of becoming a trend with these guys, which is definitely not a good thing. And not to go too far off topic, but in our office yesterday, myself and a few other Serie A fans were having a debate, kind of who would be your starting 11 if Serie A did an all-star team, and we all kind of unanimously agreed that right now Lautaro would be left off your starting 11 with the way that he's been performing so far this season, and that obviously would not have been the case last year. But I think he's got 2 goals right now in Serie A, and I think 3 in all comps. That's just not good enough, especially from your captain. So he's got to do something. We keep joking, in on Twitter and seeing, that he's fat, he's slow, all this stuff. But it's actually starting to look like a real thing where he just looks truly like overweight and slow. And it's like his feet aren't communicating with his brain fast enough to be able to do the things that he used to do. And it's just, it's worrying for sure. And I don't know what it's going to take, unfortunately.
The Lautaro, like his feet and his brain not really connecting, that was my biggest takeaway, because there were 2 opportunities that came to him in the box that he just wasn't quick enough with how he played them. One in the first half, one in the second half, where it's just like he almost froze. Like he's not really sure. Like you don't feel like he's that lethal in the box presence right now. And I don't know if it's, again, like you had mentioned, just a lack of confidence or, putting too much on himself, that when the ball finally does present itself to him, that he's like kind of just second guessing what he should be doing about it. He did have a layoff in the second half, Lautaro specifically. Barella played the ball into him. He laid it off into the box. Taremi let it run to Dumfries. And obviously, we know what Dumfries did with that chance. And then also, there was the ball to the back post from Di Marco to Thuram, that Thuram could have played it across the box to Lautaro for an easy tap-in. His night could have looked very different if those actions would have went his way, a goal and an assist. But it doesn't take away from the fact that like he's not really that involved in the play compared to previous seasons at Inter. And then when he is involved, it's almost like, he hasn't seen the ball for so long that he just freezes up, and he's not exactly sure what to do with the ball. But our season objectives, we're not going to be able to get anywhere close to them, despite where we are right now in the Serie A table and in the Champions League table. Despite where we are, we're not going to be able to actually go after those objectives if only one out of our 5 forwards is really firing. Like, Lautaro needs to figure it out. I'm not going to rely on Taremi figuring it out. Like, he just got to the club.
I've kind of abandoned hope on that one.
On Taremi.
Yeah.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him. But with Lautaro, like, he just needs to, I don't know. Like, we have Parma coming up. Like, hopefully he can have a big game against them, and like just whatever needs to get triggered in his brain to start getting involved and being more decisive. But we need someone to step up. For Taremi, I just am not sure what's going on with him. Defensively, like, he works really, really hard, and that's valuable. But at some point, it's like, it's almost like Football Manager, like, where you have the defensive forward role. Like, that's all well and good, but it's not, you can't have significant minutes on the team if you're not getting on the end of anything. If when the ball comes to you, it's not, you don't lay off the pass to Dumfries, who's streaming down the right in the first half. Or, you know, even when Lautaro played it across the box, he did lay it off for Dumfries, but maybe he should have taken it himself. You know, first year in Serie A, first year under Inzaghi, I'm giving him a leash right now, but it sounds like you're not feeling that.
No. I think he was a little overhyped coming from Porto. Sure, his numbers were great 2 years ago. Last year, not so much. Possibly because they knew he was leaving and there was going to be no opportunity
He was injured for a good amount of the season as well.
He was injured in the first half, but the second half of the season, I think they kind of knew that he was going to be out. Yeah, it's you've only contributed one penalty in terms of, you know, statistics. You had a couple assists in one of the other games as well. That's all well and good, but at some point you have to start putting chances away. You have to start contributing. You know, the whole "hey, he works hard" thing. All right, that's great. Like, what else is he doing? What else is he bringing to the table? You know, like, it's when Joaquin Correa has the best appearance of any of the substitutes that we have available to us, that's not a good sign. One, because we have no expectations from Correa. So what we saw was awesome, great. That really is like, you're kind of like, you're icing on the cake, but you're hoping that the two guys who were technically ahead of him on the pecking order would have been contributing a little bit more by now. Neither one of them have offered anything. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm giving up on Taremi altogether, but I am just like, my expectations are at zero now. And if anything happens, cool. But I don't foresee him being a major part of this attacking front. And it's kind of a shame, because we had kind of hoped that he would be a younger Edin Dzeko in some ways. Not saying he would be doing the same output, but you were hoping that he'd be at least contributing some goals, having some assists, being able to hold up play and allow guys to kind of fill the gaps, and he could lay it off to them. Hasn't been the case, unfortunately. And I have no expectations from him at all anymore.
I had much higher hopes. I'm not giving up on him just yet, but it does put, if he doesn't start performing, it does put Inter in a bad spot. At least, you know, it's good that we've performed as well as we have in the Champions League so far, because Correa is not on the CL list as of right now. And that may need to change. Even with Arnautovic coming on, you know, for the last part of that game, it's very slow. It's very disinterested. And at this point, I think, like, I don't, you know, almost like a fuck your feelings kind of thing, where once we progress to the next stage, I think we do need to switch out Arnautovic for Correa. It's crazy to say off of one performance, but it's just, he does.
Well, that's how bad Arnautovic has been, though.
Yeah. And Taremi. That's how bad, like,
yeah,
they both have been, where it's, you know, you need to have an alternative to Lautaro and Thuram. And I know that it was against Verona, but how much better did the link up between midfield and forwards look with Correa and Thuram?
It was night and day.
Lautaro and Thuram. Yeah.
Night and day. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I didn't expect it to be that good between the two of them. I expected some hiccups. I expected some difficulties. They looked like they had been playing together all season long. No issues. The layoffs were great. They knew where the other one was going, when to play it off, when to pass to who, like when to make those darting runs. It was awesome.
So what do you think is going to happen? Inzaghi giving more leash to Taremi to be able to show, you know, why they brought him in and what his potential is, or give Correa, who's his boy, the lifeline to now jump the depth chart and you know, take that maybe first striker off the bench role.
Yeah, I think he might be leaning towards that second option. I think Correa is gonna have some opportunities here to take some minutes from these guys. If you're not performing, I think you need there needs to be consequences, right? There needs to be some accountability here. And it's crazy to think that we're talking about Joaquin Correa. I wanted to cut him after the summer. I'm not even kidding. I didn't care what happened. If he ended up in USL playing for some team in Las Vegas, for all I know, I did not care what was going to happen to him. So the fact that he has now taken that start that he was afforded and made the most of it, that's huge. And, you know, he looks to be in pretty good shape. He looks to be healthy. And that was also a thing that was always a problem with Joaquin Correa, was the injuries. And, you know, and maybe that's another reason why, potentially, I don't know, that he was left off, so that, you know, they aren't overusing him and then putting him in a situation where he can have some muscle strains and fatigue creeping up. And now that, you know, if they could have a fresh Joaquin Correa, at least to focus on the league, maybe that's what's going on here. So we'll certainly see, especially with the match with Fiorentina this weekend, how Inzaghi wants to rotate the squad. But I don't think I would have an issue if you tell me that Turam and Correa are starting that game either, honestly, with the way things have looked so far. So
yeah,
we'll have to see, of course.
Yeah. And as far as like the Champions League list moving forward, there's nothing that Arnautovic does that Taremi can't do. And there's nothing that Arnautovic can do that's anything like what Correa brings. So I think it's worth having a different profile moving forward. And Arnautovic can be the guy that comes off the bench after you're up 3-0 against, you know, the lower table sides. Lower table sides. In Serie A.
His body language again today sucked for me. And
it sucked. Yeah.
It's absolutely like no effort. Barella's tired.
Like, almost like he's mad that he's coming off the bench. It's weird. Like,
Barella is clearly tired around the 83rd, 84th minute. And he is trying to run down center backs. And I see Arnautovic to his left just jogging. As if nothing, yeah, you know, nothing's going on. Not a big deal. We're already up. No, that level of effort, or lack of effort, I should say, that to me should just be, you're done. Like, yeah, I don't need to see you anymore.
Yeah, it's like you get 10 minutes here and there, like just run your ass off for 10 minutes. Like, just
like, I want you to leave it on the field.
You don't have to be expecting the ball. Like, just go get the ball.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about two refereeing incidents in the first half. Dumfries takes on his man. I forget exactly who it was. It might have been Giertruda or Lukeba, but he beats his man into the box.
I think it was Giertruda.
Okay. So he gets around him, is charging into the box, and is brought down. Or maybe not brought down, you know, depending on how you look at it. I'll give my opinion. I thought, for me, Dumfries plays the ball past Giertruda, and then there's no real attempt by Giertruda to go after the ball. He just starts playing the obstruction game with Dumfries. For me, it's tough to say because Dumfries was also getting physical with him, but I wouldn't have been surprised if that was given as a penalty. I thought at least it deserved a VAR look. Nothing in it for you.
Nothing in it for me. Two guys just battling. They were both, you know, kind of pulling on one
body
another.
Body to body.
To me, nothing in it. Like, I didn't think it was a foul on Dumfries to go the other way. I think that's one of those things where it's like balls that if Lautaro came running in and took that ball and just scored himself, I wouldn't have cared. If a defender, you know, Lukeba came over and took the and cleared it, I wouldn't have cared. It was just two guys going at it. Like you said, body to body. They were basically leaning all over each other. I don't think Dumfries really I think if Dumfries would have just kept running instead of trying to, he tried to wrap his arm around him and kind of like push off him kind of thing. If he just would have kept going, that would have been a better situation, like where he could have been taken down for real. And then it's a legit penalty right there instead of like you're both battling and it's like, oh, if I go down here and they're both like kind of like trying to fall over each other. So, yeah, nothing. I wouldn't know. If they called a penalty there, I would have felt like we kind of got away with one, to be honest. That's just me. And it, okay. And before anyone's, it doesn't matter if it was Dumfries, Buchanan, whoever, I would have wanted you to just keep going. And you probably would have been taken down, in my opinion. I think he would have been grabbed in a way that he could have gone down. Like if he got past him and then arm on shoulder and then he go, I think they would have called a penalty instead of they were like literally shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. The only thing that gives me pause is that it really like felt like Gertruda was more focused on Dumfries than he was on getting the ball. But there was also a lot of heavy contact, you know, the other way with Dumfries on Gertruda. So, okay, fair enough. The second incident, Inter's second goal is disallowed. Thuram gets passed. I believe it was Luqueba, lays it off to Mkhitaryan and puts it in the back of the net. Your soft thoughts on that being ruled out? That was soft.
That was not a foul, in my opinion. That was, again, same type thing. Two guys going at it. Thuram just does a swim move on him and is able to get past him. And Luqueba just goes down like he got shot. Didn't get touched, in my opinion. Not enough to go down either. And to me, that should have been a goal. I don't understand. Yeah, this referee was pretty awful tonight, in my opinion. I think that even the yellow cards that he gave to Pavard and Bastoni in the first half, I thought were very soft. Like fouls, yes.
The Pavard one was a yellow for me.
See, I didn't think that was a yellow. I thought that was just
Opendo was gone. Like he did.
Opendo was gone, but he also got literally, like, if you watch it again in slow motion, he barely touches him and Openda had him beat. You didn't have to go down. You literally could have just, you would have been gone. Clean on goal. He barely got touched by Pavard. Barely. I don't even know if he did touch him, to be quite honest. I would have to see it again, honestly. But from what when I saw it, I think he was like barely touched. Like a grazing at most. I don't know. Very soft calls there. And then the one where Thuram was clean on goal. That was the last man. How is that not a red?
I think it was the same reasoning as the Openda drag down, that it was too close to the sideline and that he wasn't clear. That's at least what he was signaling, that the player was headed towards the touchline as opposed to directly
towards
the box.
Keep these Spanish refs away from me. Just keep these Spanish. Get them out of here.
Portuguese.
Oh, he's Portuguese? You know what it was? The game with Milan was a Spanish ref.
The VAR ref was Spanish in today's game.
Well, keep these losers out of here.
All right, fair enough. A player that just came up here that we also definitely need to talk about. Pavard had a tough game today.
Brutal.
I don't know if he was carrying a knock into today's game, but was moving slow as far as his passing, his decision making. Obviously, he got the yellow card and then eventually, you know, had to come off with an injury. It seems like it's a left thigh strain. Unsure how long it's going to keep him out. We've had this conversation about, you know, Pavard versus Bisek. Bisek enters the game, plays very well. Yep. Plays extremely well, as we've been seeing from him recently. Are we entering the stretch of Pavard's Inter career where the kid coming up is just performing too well? Pavard is not performing at the same level as he was last year. And is he about to get pipped in the depth chart? Wally pipped.
Yeah, I think we're there already. And I was actually talking about it today with Sean at work. And I'm starting to wonder. And listen, you could disagree with me. I would actually be curious to see how other people feel. But I'm starting to wonder if we have once again wasted another 30 million euros. Last year, he did have some great performances, no doubt.
He was great last year.
But great. This year, it's been like he just fell off a cliff. I can't think of a single good performance from Pavard. Not like okay. I mean, like a really good great performance.
Yeah,
I can't think of one. Now, I mean, I know early in the year, you know, Bisek had some instances where he cost us the game against Lecce. By the game, I mean the 3 points, not like, you know. But since then, I mean, I think he's been the much better player in every asset, every facet. That's what I meant. Pavard has still not contributed a single goal. I think it's time where we maybe have some difficult conversations in the offseason and consider, you know, maybe cutting our losses and going after someone else who's also young. And since we already extended, you know, Bisek, it's like, hey, this is your spot now. Congrats, man. Like you earned it. And you focus on a center back in the offseason if you're able to move Pavard out, because it just doesn't feel like he is going to be really offering much for us, unfortunately. And we still have Matteo Darmian. Maybe he could be the permanent backup right center back. And you know, and since we're seeing Buchanan starting to take more strides, there you go. You got Augusto and DiMarco on the left, Buchanan and Dumfries on the right, and now you got Darmian as a permanent backup for your right center back. I think that would be the smart thing going forward, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I'm not willing to say that Pavard's Inter career is at risk.
Bro, take a stand. Be a man. At this
point, I am taking my stance is that I don't think his career is at risk at this point, but I do think
no hot takes from Alessandro, guys. It's kind of boring, right?
It's not about hot takes. I'm giving you my honest opinion. It's not like you never see Inzaghi just throw players away. What I'm trying to say is that I think, first of all, I brought it up, like, you know, his Bisek's Inter career, like, it's starting to take off. But I think the injury is going to be, you know, a chance for him to just sit down and kind of get himself healthy and sort of reassess where he's been at, because it's not been, there's been some solid performances, but nothing like we saw last year. But it's a player that, you know, we need, because it's, you can't have Bisek hold down the right center back position for the rest of the year. We play in a lot of competitions, and
I said for next year. I wasn't talking about this year.
It's going to be really hard to move a 31-year-old right center back on those kind of wages. If somebody comes in, like, you know, I'm happy to consider an
PSG
offer.
PSG is losing a guy, you know, to Juventus soon. See, I got him, ladies and gentlemen. He now thinks it could be possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could be possible. I am breaking news.
Inter would consider any offers for their over 30 players. I just think it's going to be pretty tough to move him. So I'd rather be in the camp of he can turn things around. But let's see how it shakes out. Let's talk about one more performance for today. Denzel Dumfries.
Oh, we're going here. We're going to talk about one more player too after Denzel Dumfries. Somebody who needs to get some credit. But anyway.
Okay. Missed a pretty huge chance early in about 40 seconds into the second half to put us up 2-0. I thought he did some things well today. You can see by the amount of entries into the final third with the ball that he had, and you know, it wasn't perfect by any means. I don't think it was the worst performance of his career, but obviously there was a lot of chatter on Inter Twitter after he misses that you know, that chance in the second half. I guess my question to you is, like, did you see this as a bad Dumfries performance for you?
Yes.
The overall game?
Yes. The only thing that really stood out to me was he had that amazing flick on to Thuram, where Thuram, in my opinion, was fouled when he was going to be clean on goal. I was very disappointed with a lot of his cross attempts, the poor finishing. He had more than one. I mean, one was clear and obvious, but then he did have more than one opportunity where he was in the box and you know, he headed one. And this is maybe the third time that I've seen a cross come into to Dumfries from Diamarco where he heads it straight in the air. I just don't understand how that's possible as a professional footballer. I don't get how this guy can have a performance where it's like, wow, what a game from Denzel Dumfries, and then drop back-to-back stinkers. I don't get it. I don't. It's exhausting with this guy. He is such an enigma that I don't know if we will ever solve him and understand what type of player he is, or if he's actually any good. It'll just be a mystery for the rest of my life, I think.
That renewal is still not official.
And I am so thankful, like, because I'm hoping that this is
unbelievable.
I'm hoping it's not going to go through. I really am. I'm not saying that Buchanan's the guy that has to take over and be the starter, but I think that there are better options available in Europe that we could, you know, really look at to replace him with.
There definitely are.
And I listen. I'm not the only one who feels this way. I know some people won't speak up. But I think that if Buchanan had those same opportunities, especially the one that was clear on goal, I think that he finishes that without question.
I really wonder if we're going to be able to see Tejan in Europe this year. Because now you're coming up on the stretch after Leverkusen. Now you're finishing out with, you know, and you if you get a good result against Leverkusen, even if it's a point, that should ensure that you're going to get into the top eight. But yeah, I'd love to see more of Tejan on the right hand side. But like you said, it's an enigma with Dumfries, because he can drop a, you know, a really good performance and then followed up with two stinkers. So, yeah, I think we've talked about this for a while, wanting to see Tejan a little bit more on the right hand side. I proposed that if Achebe is out for a while, that the depth chart moves to Dumfries, Tejan, right wing, right center back Pavard and Darmian, center back either Bastoni or Bisek and De Vrij, and then left center back Bastoni or Bisek, Augusto, Palacios, and so forth. So let's see. We still don't have any, you know, real Acerbi news as far as how long it's going to be. Some people are saying that he might be back for Fiorentina. But let's see how that shakes out. All right, who's the player you wanted to talk about?
Federico Di Marco. I think another fantastic performance from him. He has such an amazing first touch. I think it's something that's very underrated from him. There's some crosses and some long passes that have been played to him. And the control he has, that he's able to kind of just trap the ball or place it just enough in front where he's able to continue his run. If there is one talent I wish I had, it'd be that kind of that level of touch. And Uncle Sharma, I'm going to tag you in this when this episode gets loaded, because I would love for you to find like all of his first touch videos or clips and be able to make a video of it. Because somebody has to put it together to really show just how phenomenal he is, you know. And then his crossing today was amazing. It's a shame that he didn't have more clinical forwards up front and people being able to get on the ends of these crosses.
1.35 expected assists.
See, and I would have said at least two, but okay, I'll take the 1.35. That's whatever. Let's round it up, you know. I think that would still only... Well, yeah, no, we'll get you too. Anyway, Federico Di Marco is so far my player of the season for this club. I've been so impressed with him. He's been phenomenal, and honestly, it looks like his stamina is improving. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't look like he was fading today, in my opinion. Maybe
full
towards
90.
Like the very very end, but I think that he still was. You know, I remember in the 80th minute, he was still marauding down the left side and phenomenal player. And yeah, we deserve to highlight his performance for sure.
That set piece routine off the corners where DeMarco plays it into Hakan, and
that was a bad shot. But
three times that they did that, that I really like the look of that. I want them to keep running with that more. He definitely should have just roofed that one. I think he was half in between a cross or a shot. Yep. But he had some...
I think if he just shot that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the look of that, and I'd like to see more
100%.
Of it. 100%. Good 90 minutes from DeMarco, which means that, I guess... and we also got an Augusto appearance as well, but I guess against Fiorentina, Augusto's in line to start.
His hair is getting thicker, man. Did you see that?
I can't believe how much younger he looks. It's kind of scary.
It's insane.
He's 24 years old, and he looked like 32.
That hair was so thick this game.
Yeah, 25 years old.
Unreal.
I forgot one more player that we definitely got to touch on. Stefan De Vrij. What a game. Monster. Back-to-back games. He has the record for most successful passes in a game in Serie A this season. That this last game against Verona that he came on as a sub. And then today, defensively, they had no shot. The two forwards and everyone that they put on, every ball into the box, he took care of. He was really proactive coming out of the box and making challenges outside of the area. I really liked what I saw from De Vrij. You and I have talked about this. Who should we, re-up here? They're both aging players, but De Vrij seems to be aging in a way where his, he's available and his performances are not falling off a cliff. What did you think of De Vrij's performance? And, if Acerbi's out for a while, how confident are you with him in that back line?
No, great shout bringing him up as well. Phenomenal performance for sure. From minute one, really, he was locked in, and that's something you want to see, from a player of his quality. Let's not forget, he did win best defensive player in Serie A for a reason, right? Like, it's not like it wasn't an accident. It's not like he's just a trash player going through a good period right now. He is a world-class center back, and to see him performing at this level right now, even after myself and even some other people were also kind of a little worried about his value and what he's still able to bring. And I was kind of, I think in the summer, maybe it was earlier, I don't remember now, but I was like, hey, if Feyenoord really want him back, they can gladly come and take him. And now he's a stalwart in the back line there, and I'm very thrilled with his performances. And we talked about it last episode, if he's the guy that we should keep or if it should be Acerbi. After this one, it's like, all right, maybe it really does have to be Stefan De Vrij, for who, if we do renew one of these guys, which, let's be honest, we probably are going to have to renew one of them. I don't think we're going to have the money to go after multiple players. So I think, if he was willing to come back on lower wages, to me, it's a home run.
Yeah, and I think in an interview, he said that he wants to be at Inter. So let's hope they're able to get something done there.
And that's what you want, really. You want guys who want to be a part of this club, be a part of this project. I know that you have to do not total, revolutions with the club, but if you could have some refreshing here and there and keep it a little bit younger and with guys who are ready to contribute for years to come, not just to patch holes here and there, that's huge. But then if you could have a few guys who you do keep on for long term, I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, agreed. And I just looked up Inzaghi's post-match comments. He actually says the Pavard injury is more serious than Acerbi's. That Acerbi is day to day. Pavard's looks a little bit more serious. So, we'll keep an eye on that, and hopefully it's not too bad. But obviously, for all the Beckenbauer bisexuals out there, you might be seeing more of a Vian back there. All right, let's get into some of these questions. A lot of them, again, we've already covered. Natovich Sudam, favorite card grading. Have you guys ever seen another player with a more apocalyptic first touch than Denzel Dumfries? That's from at FC Andre 1908. So let's reframe this a little bit. Can you remember...
apocalyptic first touch.
Can you remember an Inter player with a worse first touch than Dumfries?
No. Lukaku might be one of the closest. And I would also include Biabiani, maybe.
I was just thinking, God damn it.
I would probably include him up there. That'd probably be. And then if I had to make it a Mount Rushmore, Alvaro Pereira would be the fourth guy on those apocalypse. Like, that'd be my Mount Rushmore of terrible first touches right there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
That was a great, greatly worded question, though.
At Nerazzurri Pirlo, when are we going to start scoring more goals in Champions League? I mean, I think this just goes back to the conversation that we've been having about these forwards. Taremi has started, I think, every single Champions League game. So unless he starts banging in the goals, then it's either going to be Lautaro or Thuram that, you know, is going to have to shoulder that burden. And that's just not enough at this point. So I think it goes back to
Taremi. 2025. There. We'll start scoring in 2025. New year, new you. That'll be what happens for our forwards, hopefully.
All right, we talked about Correa and the UCL squad. We're both for it. Good result, but worried about the lack of finishing. Miss what happened to Bavar? Was he injured? If so, how worried should we be about the depth in defense? So that's from at John_FC66. I'm not too worried if the Pavard injury is serious. Reason being, like we just said, Bissek becomes your starting right center back, kicks Darmian back to the backup, allows Tejan and Dumfries to compete for minutes at right wing back. That works perfectly for me, honestly. Works perfectly for me. If this opens up more minutes for Tejan on the right wing, I'm cool with that. What do you think?
I got a little bit of concern. I know that you said Achebe's day to day, but you're basically down two center backs. We don't feel like we have confidence in Palacios, and even though it's nice to have Darmian and Carlos Augusto there, I don't know. It's getting a little thin, and I don't want to be doom and gloom by any means, but I think it's something that we need to pay attention for, and let's see actually what we hear back from what exactly is going on with Pavard. It might just be like a grade two hamstring injury. That's what it looked like he was gripping at or grabbing at when he was hampered. So we'll see what we hear back from them, but I have a little bit of concern there.
All right, we'll do one more question here. At a person 1352, with how Taremi and Arnautovic have been playing, is David becoming more of an attractive option? There's a lot of competition. It's a lot of competition on him.
No.
You're not a fan of his. You're not a big fan of his.
I would rather get Lorenzo Luca than Jonathan David, if I'm being 100% honest. And that's not me trolling. I think that there's a player there. I think you could get... we have a good relationship with Udinese. I think that's something that I would rather do. I don't care. I don't care. Is that how we're going to judge players now? Like, hey, this guy supported Juve.
I think that his desire is to end up at Juve, specifically for Luca. But I don't think whatever given all the competition around him, I don't think he's going to be worth whatever that salary number is. He's asking for $6 million.
And Luca,
I think
Pavard, or David?
David. I think Thuram got what, 5.5? Like, it's not that for
Jonathan
me,
David, he could kick rocks.
Also, can we invest in a striker? Like, can we, instead of going the free agent route, can we identify a striker that we really like and
we'd have to go to South America.
Okay. Well, let's be honest. Retegi, and now look how that
we could have got Retegi. We could have got Sesko. We had people looking at Benjamin Sesko. I don't know how that didn't get worked out, but it is what it is. Yeah, I'm not a Jonathan David fan.
Fire sale, you know, Gift Orban might be there. You know,
Gift Orban.
I would like to. I want a young striker. I want a young.
I was excited about Gift Orban, but I haven't seen much growth.
To be honest, I haven't followed much of him this season, so I'm not sure what he's been doing. But I remember he went to Lyon, and obviously they're going to have a fire sale. So, but yeah, I'd like an investment to be made in the forward position. All right. Any other questions here?
And then, Peach, you did ask about the grading company. Don't use PSA. Use Tag Grading. That's where I send all my Inter cards to. No bias, no BS with them. You know, if your card's a 10, it's a legit 10. It's not, you know, what you see from PSA is so, they could be tipped off. You could throw money in there to get better grades. I think it's so corrupt. So, no, that's all I'll say about that.
All right. So, Inter is top of the Champions League table. Obviously, several teams have games in hand that need to be played tomorrow. But 13 points through these five rounds is, you know, a really good pickup. We have three games left to be able to get, I think, what ultimately will be 15 points that secures you top eight, which seems very, very doable. Fiorentina coming up next on Saturday, I believe. Johnny, anything we need to say to the listeners here? Any updates?
Yeah, one thing I do want to say is, you know, be wary if you're ordering any Inter kits this holiday season. It feels like there's been a serious lack in quality control. And it's not just me. You know, I've got a couple of friends who said the same thing with their kits. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's the type of material that's making it hard for these logos to adhere to. I don't know. But it's you know, if you're going to spend $260 on a kit, you expect it to be perfect. You know, at the very least. And honestly, it's making me question if I'm going to get the third kit, which I already have the home. I got the away. I was thinking about getting myself the third as a Christmas gift for myself. And honestly, and I've been thinking about getting a Newcastle Tonali kit just because it's also $100 cheaper. Which is incredible. Why are the Inter kits of all the Nike teams so much more expensive than anybody else's? Like $230, and that's before you ship the third. So $30 more for shipping. Like, but I can go get a Newcastle one for $160. I can get a Lazio one for $100 because I was looking at Rovella. I was looking at
so Florian Wirtz. It started stripping after the first time you washed it.
I not even wash it. I literally just put it on that morning. So that was terrible. The first time I had put, like, literally, I opened it out of the package. I hung it up immediately. Inter won in the weekend. I was like, oh, I'll wear it to work on Monday. Put it on. And then I looked down after I put it on. First, I literally had just clipped off the tags and it's peeling. That's inexcusable. And I'm thankful that Nike responded, but unfortunately, I didn't order it directly from Nike, so they can't do anything about it. Inter, I sent the store an email. I'm never going to hear from them. So
yeah,
I don't know if I'm going to be getting another kit, to be honest. I'm at least this year. Obviously, you know, I'll probably feel differently when I see next year's kit, but I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I mean, it's a lot of money for a kit and you think you're buying the best possible version of it direct from them, and for it to be doing that. Yeah. Shitty situation, but you got your Capitoro shirt, so you can wear that in the meantime.
Yes, sir. Everybody go buy your Capitoro Alrighty. Shirt. Forget the Inter store.
Forget the Inter store. Go Shop to JR local. Direct.
Hook up JR Bell. Bring her some business.
Small business Saturday coming up. So
yeah, man. Support our pod. Support Inter Club Boston for the design. Come on.
We'll throw a link out there. All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.